There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
This is Natalia Bozhuk.
Originally, I'm from Odessa, Ukraine. It's a beautiful city near the sea, and right now my family is back in Ukraine.
She's in Ireland. Her family made the decision to move her away from the war zone.
I'm here all alone, and for sure it's impacted greatly.
And she's very concerned about her parents and what's happening at home.
We are taking a lot of casualties, and the situation in the city is a bit unstable.
Coming up on this episode from WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. America has a target on its back, and on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm JJ Green. Recently, I had a chance to spend time with 50 Ukrainian expats. They were all in Greece for training that they would use to empower themselves and their voices. It was a storytelling and journalism seminar, but they already knew how to tell some amazing stories. One of them was Natalia Bozhuk. She's our guest today on Target USA. Natalia, you're from Ukraine. Tell us where you're from and tell us how the war impacted your home.
That's a hard question. Originally, I'm from Odessa, Ukraine. It's a beautiful city near the sea, and right now my family is back in Ukraine. I'm here all alone, and for sure it's impacted greatly. We are taking a lot of casualties, and the situation in the city is a bit unstable because of the threat from the sea, and I'm constantly worried about my family, about situation in the city. They're using drones, they're using bombs, and rockets. I'm just a bit nervous, and you're constantly basically living in a fear, thinking about your family, your friends, all the loved ones that right now is still in the city trying their best, working. It was hard to leave. I would be honest, it was really hard, and it was a rash decision, because my dad is involved in the military, and he was just worried about me. So I think his first priority was to get me somewhere safety, to be in a safe place. Yeah. And it was hard to leave all your work behind, all your stuff, all your memories behind. So starting new life, it's always hard, but I think I want to return to Ukraine when the war is over. So I really like my city, and a lot of great stuff happened when I was in. So, I'm planning to return.
How long have you been gone? When did you leave?
I left around the end of March 2022. Mm-hmm. I was in Romania for a few months. It's actually a pretty funny story, because it was friend of the friend of the friend, and he was looking after some, small cottage building, in the middle of the forest for hunters in Romania. Yeah. And he didn't know who I am. He didn't spoke he can't speak any English at all. So it was a bit hard to communicate, but he heard about our story that we are looking for a place to like a safe place to stay for a moment. And he offered us, basically, he was saying like, well, I have a small building that were used by the hunters, but you can just come in and stay for as long as you want. And we were helping with the cleaning, like looking after the territory. And yeah, he didn't take any money, and he was just doing it because he wanted to help.
Yeah.
We were staying with him for about like a few months, and I think around probably June of 2022, we were here in Ireland.
Were you traveling alone at that point?
I have a friend. She was with me, and because I was leaving the country and I was leaving the city, my friend, she was alone at that moment, like all her family gone. And she was like, well, if you're leaving, I'm afraid to stay here on my own. So if you don't mind, I can travel with you. And I was like, okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. I would be like happy to help you. Mm-hmm. So I think it was pretty hard for her because I knew a few words of like Romanian, and I can speak with people like on a basic level that I want like to eat or I want to do something, but she couldn't. And she was like relying like 100% on me, and decision to move to Ireland was also mine. And she just like followed because I think she was relying on like my decisions and my opinions. So.
So why did you choose Ireland?
I heard a lot of great stories from other people, and I had like a friend, she moved here before us, and she was like you can make a difference here, you can start your education, you can basically work here, and a lot of people who supporting Ukrainians are right now here. And if we're talking about like other countries, Ireland is one of the country that took a lot of Ukrainians in, and they give us the rights, like temporary protection, and they give us opportunity to learn, to take free courses, to do our job. And I think they were pretty fair with tax rates and stuff like this. So, and I think they were pretty positive about Ukrainians in general. Because of the Irish history with Britain, they were like, we can't understand you guys. So yeah, a lot of support from Irish people. That's true.
Yeah. So you've been there for a while now. And are there many other Ukrainians there? Is there a community around you, or just where are you in terms of your Ukrainian brothers and sisters?
So the problem is when we arrived in June, it was already hard for Ireland to accommodate all the Ukrainian refugee. And the situation is we were for some time in like church that were accommodating refugee. And after that, they put us in a small city. Shannon is like, well, relatively small, about 8,000, I think 9,000 people. So it's pretty small city, and I think right now it's about like 200, 300 Ukrainians in it, but mostly it's old people or children. So it's a bit hard to communicate with community. And I think right now you are thinking a bit different. A lot of active community is in Dublin, Cork, Galway, bigger cities, bigger opportunities. So I think most of the stuff right now is happening in Dublin. Mm-hmm. But here we are trying our best to do something. And a lot of things are involved communicating with bigger Ukrainian communities in other cities. So,
right.
Yeah.
What do you think about the war in Ukraine at this point? I know that there's been, I know you're concerned about people in the West and the United States forgetting or turning away from Ukraine. Explain what your thoughts and your concerns are.
That's true, because right now we are here and we can hear only the news about Ukraine and about situation from our family or our friends. And at the beginning, we were thinking like it will take probably only like a few months or maybe like half of a year and the war would be over and the West will help us to stop it, because like it's uncivilized and it can't be like happening right now. So after some time, we became worried about the future and about the situation. And we are depending on the West and the help from other countries as well, from Europe. And we keep on hearing the narrative that like, oh, we are tired of Ukrainian problems. We are struggling here also. Why should we care about Ukrainians? It's happening like somewhere. And it's kind of hard to hear and it's kind of hard to explain to people here, like we are actually trying our best not only to protect our country but the country, like Europe in general and countries that are near. And yeah, it's pretty hard. Even when I'm thinking about my family, I'm remembering the first day when the war started and that feeling. And sometimes I'm going back to it and I remember that I was completely lost. I didn't have any plans or like any solutions, like where to go, what to do. And when I'm thinking about my family, I'm thinking like what will happen next, like how to make my family safe, where to like how to help. And of course, we are worried, because when you're thinking about the war, like we want to end it like as soon as possible. But there is a time after war when we need to like renovate our cities, rebuild cities. And it will take some time for sure. And even in like in this situation, we are depending on other countries to help us. And I think to navigate us in a way, because not only like people in Europe or USA are tired of war, but I think people in Ukraine are also very tired. Mm-hmm. When you can't sleep at night and then you should like go to your work at 8 a.m. and do your best just to provide for your family, and you never know what day like can be your last. I was explaining to people here, like we had a drone attack when I was at Tech Camp. Like it was, I think, 2nd of March, and a lot of like civilians died, and 5 of them were children, like small children. And to see even photos of the small children, like in the ruins of the building, it was like heartbreaking. And yeah. I think they deserved a future. They deserved a chance. And it's just like every night, like every morning you wake up from the night or you're checking the news, like if it's my building, if it's my street, if it's my family. Yeah. And it's really hard, especially like when, you know, like people are trying their best. And if we are talking about volunteers, I can say, because I'm living in a small city, we can talk about the burnouts, and we can talk about like some people are losing the point and losing the hope of helping like others. And it's sometimes it's hard to remember that like you're doing it for the great cause and you're doing it not only for yourself but for the future of others.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really hard topic.
So I'm very, very sorry you're in that situation. I think I told you that recently when I saw you. I want you to, if you will, tell us about your experience recently. You were in Greece at a program called Tech Camp in Thessaloniki. So tell me about your experience there.
Actually, to be honest, I wasn't expecting much like at the start, and I know a lot of people already formed groups and they like knew what they're doing and they had like friends or somebody around to help them with the project. but I was like traveling alone for a long time to get there, and was like, well, I give it a chance, I'll see what happened. And it was a pleasant surprise, and it was, for me, it was really refreshing, because when you're staying, for example, in a small city, sometimes you're thinking like, I'm alone in this battle. Like, I can't see anybody around who's like also active or trying to do something. Like, sometimes you feel like you're alone. And it's really hard to feel a deeper connection when like you're hearing stories from somewhere. But when you see this like people in person, when you have a chance to talk with them, and when you see like all the people are being active and trying to make an impact and working hard on their project, it was really nice to like see your community first. And I think people were really supportive toward me, and a lot of like people approached me like, tell your story or tell us about yourself, or we want you in our project, like, well, you have great ideas, like you have potential, like please help us. And well, big plus for people who helped organize this, and for the mentors, of course, because I knew you have like your personal time and your personal space, but you made it feel like you're always around for us, like you're doing this for us. And it was, I think it was really fun in some ways to show you guys that like sometimes we have a different perspective for things, and to maybe open like something new for you. And I know sometimes it's hard to deal even with us, because some people are forgetting that like, well, we also have trauma and some bad things in the past, but and sometimes it can affect our work, that's for sure. But we have a lot of great ideas, we have a lot of potential, and I think the good things that, for example, such camps can do, it help us navigate. This tech camp, it helped me to find connections here in Ireland. I was living here for almost like 2 years, and it was so hard for me to find like any connections, like meaningful connections, or people who could actually help me with my project.
Wow.
In like 4 days, and I have already like 2 people that can help me greatly to organize some stuff here or in Dublin or even online. And I was like, well, that's crazy, because like these 4 days did more than like whole 2 year. 2 years, and like, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. So what is your project that you're working on? One of the things that took place, for those that don't know, Tech Camp is a U.S. State Department program that brought 50 Ukrainian expats to Thessaloniki, Greece, to listen and work with expert trainers in a number of different varieties. The objective was to give them the tools that they need to go out and essentially fight against Russian disinformation, and to bring people together to look for ways to help Ukrainians and the country itself. And each participant, either by themselves or with a group, had to come up with a project. So, Natalia, what was your project and how is it coming?
So, to be honest, our project was pretty big. It involved hackathon with ChatGPT, so generate a platform or digital solution to help Ukrainian refugees around the world to communicate and to provide their stories. It was a great idea, to be honest, but I think it's a bit too hard for us right now, but we are planning it. So we need a bit more resources and some time. We decided to split our project for now. So we are thinking for start several small projects and then go back to the big one. So right now, my plan, I'm working on a plan to help journalists and young people in Ireland to communicate and give them skills. It's actually pretty similar to Tech Camp. I want to get young people from around the island to participate in a workshop about creative writing, journalism, writing for social media, digital content, to gather them in Dublin for 5 days, to give them lectures and to give them practical lessons. And I think to make them feel safe to share their stories and to share their experience, not only in Ireland, but about the Ukraine, about like our culture, to see how this project will go, to see the results. We want to create a digital journal, and we want to help people grow and, I don't know, to see their potential, I think. And after that, if the project will be successful, we are thinking about doing this online to give a chance not only refugees in Ireland, but people around the world to participate and to, I don't know, try something new for them. It's not only about journalism, but it's actually about creative writing as well, fiction writing. So I know, like, I'll give myself as an example. Back in Ukraine, I was really fond of stories and writing. And I think creative writing, that's the skill that helped me most here. Because when I first arrived in Shannon, it's really small town. People were like, who are that people, like Ukrainians, what they're doing here? And a lot of communication with authorities here, with local police, Garda, with consuls, with many other people. They were like, I was writing almost nonstop letters and trying to bring attention to our center, that we have Ukrainian peoples here who need like English lessons. We need to find them like any activities. And yeah, it's actually helped me a lot. And I think because people were really fond about my work, and I'm not a professional volunteer, like translator, interpreter, not at all, but I was doing my best. And yeah, it helped me a lot, and it definitely helped people here. And after hearing all this like positive comments, I was thinking, well, that's what I'm good at. Like, I can write, I can make stories, and yes, I can make people feel what we are dealing with, and probably help them understand us better, because it's still a language barrier, a culture barrier, and sometimes it's a bit hard to get us.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically it.
Well, bravo, because you're doing an excellent job, and you just told a wonderful story. We're going to continue to follow your story, Natalia, so we will check back in with you periodically to see where things are and how you're doing. I want to say thank you for taking time to chat with me today on Global. Is there anything that you would like to add that I haven't asked you about that you think is important today?
I think I just want to add thank you to all the people who are still helping us and we're still checking the news, we're still listening to our stories. And sometimes it starts with words and with, I don't know, positive affirmation. And I think probably your attention and even trying to understand us, it means a lot, because I know sometimes it's hard to find strength and find, I don't know, some courage to do something for other people. Sometimes you're feeling isolated, or you're feeling like, well, I'm alone in this battle, as I said before. And it's really nice to hear that somebody still cares for us. It's really great. And when I have the chance to give a commentary or to speak about the Ukraine, I'm actually always grateful, because I still think about my dad and my mom, and I think they're really proud of me. And my dad is always like checking and like saying, well, did you make any new friends? And I was saying, yeah, a lot. So thank you, JJ, and thank you to all the people from around the world who are still like supporting us and being with us.
You're welcome, and you are not alone. And there are millions of people that are supporting you and here in the United States, and you will see very soon what I'm saying is true. Good luck. And if you had a moment or a message you would like to send to the U.S. government about continuing to support Ukraine with finances and weapons, what would you say?
Actually, I want to start with a story. I think it was like always my dream to visit USA, and it's like it became a little joke around here that like someday I will visit USA. And I think I want to say, like, please support us. Please don't stop. Like, we are believing in you and we are depending on you. So if, like, please still care about us, like, be with us. We want to support you guys also. And I think we want to establish, like, a relationship and to help you in the future. And Ukraine, well, if we're talking about Ukraine, we're talking about really young, powerful people, a lot of like dedicated people that can help and they want to help. And we are talking about like valuable resources and about potential. I think that's the best word I can describe it. So yeah, actually we're depending on you guys and we are waiting for your help. I would say even this, we're waiting. So please don't stop. And I'm depending on you. My family depends on you. So a lot of people, a lot of good people. And when you're thinking about Ukraine, don't think about like, think about different lives you're saving and think about the hope you give to people, because it's a lot of different stories, sometimes even sad stories, but we want a positive change. We want a change. That's true.
Natalia Bozhuk, thank you. That is a very poignant and very strong message that you just delivered to the U.S. government. And I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you taking time to talk with us. So thank you very much. Like I said, we'll be
thank
in touch very soon.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, will Vladimir Putin use nuclear weapons?
Можно ли что-то сделать конкретное?
Mikhail Khodorkovsky is one of Vladimir Putin's oldest political enemies. In the early 2000s, he was the wealthiest man in Russia, worth more than $15 billion, until Putin, in the early years of his presidency, had him arrested and stole much of his wealth. Khodorkovsky, who knows Putin well, gathered a group of reporters today and talked about Putin's threats, among other things. And according to him, Putin is not likely to use nuclear weapons because, in Khodorkovsky's words, Putin is not suicidal. More of that conversation and several other top hotspot issues. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm J.J. Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.